name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
We're all familiar with the word apostle, aren't we? I suppose that we should be. It appears 85 times in the New Testament. But does anyone know what it means? It comes from the Greek word apostolos, which literally means one who is sent out. In today's Gospel from Luke, we hear the story of Jesus sending out the 70. These are not the 12 disciples, who were Jesus' inner circle, but other followers who were instructed to go out into areas where he hasn't visited yet, telling them that Jesus is on his way. Jesus is making his way to Jerusalem and has to pass through Samaria, an area which is definitely hostile to Jews. He sends them out in pairs, instructs them to take nothing with them, and tells them to keep the message simple. The kingdom of God is near to you. Why did Jesus send 70? Many biblical scholars feel that this is a reference to Genesis chapter 10, which lists the so-called Table of Nations, the known parts of the world which have been settled by Noah's children and grandchildren who repopulated the earth after the great flood. How many nations were there? Yes, 70. So Luke may be telling us that it was Jesus' intention to send his message not only to the children of Israel, but to all nations of the world, starting with the Samaritans, something that pious Jews would certainly have found objectionable. So these 70 messengers are not really disciples in the true sense of the word. A disciple is a student, a follower. But these 70 were really apostles sent out by Jesus into regions which he knows are hostile, where he knows they will be subject to scorn and rejection. Jesus tells them, "I am sending you out like lambs among wolves." The 70 bravely did just that and went out with no money, no bags, not even any shoes on their feet, and spread the wonderful message that Jesus would soon be there and that the kingdom of God is near. That was a long time ago. What about today? Who are the apostles today? Missionaries? Jehovah's Witnesses? Who do go out in pairs, interestingly. Televangelists? Sidewalk preachers? Bishops, priests, or deacons? Seminarians? Whose job is it to go out there today and spread the message of the gospel? It's our job. All of us. We are commissioned by our Lord Jesus Christ to carry the same message, the kingdom of God is near, to the furthest parts of the world. In a poem attributed to the Christian mystic Teresa of Avila, the church is beautifully described this way. Christ has no body now on earth but yours, no hands but yours, no feet but yours. Yours are the eyes through which to look out Christ's compassion to the world. Yours are the feet with which he is to go about doing good. Yours are the hands with which he is to bless others now. That's what Christ's church on earth is. It's not a building, a movement, a box you check off on a census form. It's us. All of us form the church, which is indeed the body of Christ on earth. Many people today, even some Christian clergy, tell us that Christianity has reached its limits, that we have to prepare for a post-Christian world, whatever that means. Well, I, for one, don't buy it. I'll admit sometimes it's easy to get discouraged about the current state of Christianity. Certainly there are Christians being martyred in parts of the world, which is bad enough, but some others have become disillusioned with the faith. Some are merely indifferent. We hear relentless bad news about the health of Christianity here in the West. We are told that church attendance is decreasing every year, especially in Europe, where some churches and cathedrals have become little more than museums. Could it be true? Is Christ's body on earth, the church, ailing, perhaps even terminally ill? Well, my answer is a resounding no. The body of Christ is alive and well in the world. The message of the gospel cannot be silenced, and Jesus, who is the light of the world, refuses to be extinguished. Imagine a wildfire, try to stamp it out in one place and it will simply spring up somewhere else. It cannot be contained. The message given the 70 to tell the world is as true for us today as it was then. The kingdom of God is near. If anyone then or now is unsure about the nature of this kingdom, Jesus explains it beautifully in chapter 17 of Luke's gospel. He says, "The coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed, nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is in your midst." The gospel knows no borders, nor is it limited to any one language. Although the Bible was originally written in only Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, it is currently available in 531 languages. The church is a global phenomenon, being spread even as we speak into every corner of the globe. China, which is officially atheist, is poised to become the largest Christian country by population in the world. Yes, you heard that right. The same country in which you could be imprisoned or even executed for identifying yourself as a Christian a few short years ago will have an estimated 247 million Christians by the year 2030. No one is closing churches in China. In fact, there is currently so much demand for worship space that many Chinese believers gather in house churches, just as the first Christians did 2,000 years ago. Interestingly, a recent study in China found that online searches for the words Christian community and Jesus far outnumbered those for Communist Party and Xi Jinping, China's president. And it's not just happening in China. In Africa, in the year 1900, there were just under 9 million Christians. There are now 390 million Christians. That exceeds the entire population of the United States. The news gets better. It is estimated that by 2025, there will be 600 million Christians in Africa. Nigeria alone, home to more than 80 million Christians, now has more Protestants than Germany, where the Reformation began 500 years ago. India, where St. Thomas first introduced the gospel, now has more Catholics than Ireland. In the gospel today, we hear Jesus tell us, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way." Indeed, Jesus knew there were, and still are, many out there who are waiting to hear the good news. They're just waiting for it, thirsting for it. The harvest is plentiful, but who will go out there and collect the harvest? Some of the growth the church is experiencing in the developing world is due in part to the work of fearless, dynamic missionaries, men and women who preach the gospel of Christ in places where they know they risk imprisonment and death for doing so, just as the 70 did. It's one thing to minister to a safe, well-established body of Christians here in the West, but to go out as Jesus commanded, as lambs among wolves, requires real holiness. And the people who undertake this mission are not only true apostles, but saints. So don't be discouraged when you hear the chatter and noise about the decline of the church. We are not entering a post-Christian world. The gospel is alive and still spreading in every region of the earth, being carried there by the successors of those 70 that we heard about today. And don't worry, Jesus isn't requiring us to travel to Africa, to China, or to India to preach and live the gospel. We have enough work to do right here on Long Island. Take heart, for in the very last line of today's gospel, Jesus tells those who go out into the world proclaiming his message, which includes us, that we should rejoice, for our names are written in heaven. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're all familiar with the word apostle, aren't we? I suppose that we should be. It appears 85 times in the New Testament. But does anyone know what it means? It comes to us from the Greek word apostolos, which means literally one who is sent out. In today's gospel from Luke, We hear the story of Jesus sending out the 70. These 70 are not the 12 disciples, who were Jesus' inner circle, but other followers who were instructed to go out into areas where he hasn't visited yet, telling them that Jesus is on his way. Jesus is making his way to Jerusalem and has to pass through Samaria, an area which is definitely hostile to Jews. He sends them out in pairs, instructs them to take nothing with them, and tells them to keep the message simple. The kingdom of God is near to you. Why did Jesus send 70? Many biblical scholars feel that this is a reference to Genesis chapter 10, which lists the so-called Table of Nations, the known parts of the world which have been settled by Noah's children and grandchildren who repopulated the earth after the great flood. How many nations were there? Yes, 70. So Luke may be telling us that it was Jesus' intention to send his message not only to the children of Israel, but to all nations of the world, starting with the Samaritans, something that pious Jews would certainly have found objectionable. So these 70 messengers are not really disciples in the true sense of the word. A disciple is a student, a follower. But these 70 were really apostles, sent out by Jesus into regions which he knows are hostile, where he knows they will be subject to scorn and rejection. Jesus tells them, "I am sending you out like lambs among wolves." The 70 bravely did just that and went out with no money, no bags, not even any shoes on their feet, and spread the wonderful message that Jesus would soon be there and that the kingdom of God was near. That was a long time ago. What about today? Who are the apostles today? Missionaries? Jehovah's Witnesses? Who actually do go out in pairs. And always seem to come at dinner time. Televangelists? Sidewalk preachers? Bishops, priests, deacons, seminarians? Whose job is it to go out there today and spread the message of the gospel? It's our job. All of us. We are commissioned by our Lord Jesus Christ to carry the same message. The kingdom of God is near, to the furthest parts of the world. In a poem attributed to the Christian mystic, Teresa of Avila, the church is beautifully described this way. Christ has no body now on earth but yours, no hands but yours, no feet but yours. Yours are the eyes through which to look out Christ's compassion to the world. Yours are the feet with which he is to go about doing good. Yours are the hands with which he is to bless others now. That's what Christ's church on earth is. It's not a building, a movement, a box you check off on a census form. It's us, all of us, form the church, which is indeed the body of Christ on earth. Many people today, even some Christian clergy, tell us that Christianity has reached its limits, that we have to prepare for a post-Christian world, whatever that means. Well, I, for one, don't buy that. I'll admit sometimes it's easy to get discouraged about the current state of Christianity. Certainly, there are Christians being martyred in parts of the world, which is bad enough, but some others have become disillusioned with the faith, some merely indifferent. We hear relentless bad news about the health of Christianity in the West. We are told that church attendance is decreasing every year, especially in Europe, where some churches and cathedrals have become little more than museums. Could it be true? Is Christ's body on earth, the church, ailing, perhaps even terminally ill? My answer is a resounding no. The body of Christ is alive and well in the world. The message of the gospel cannot be silenced, and Jesus, who is the light of the world, refuses to be extinguished. Imagine it like a wildfire. Try to stamp it out in one place and it simply reappears somewhere else. It cannot be contained. The message given the 70 to tell the world is as true for us today as it was then. The kingdom of God is near. If anyone, then or now, is unsure about the nature of this kingdom, Jesus explains it beautifully in chapter 17 of Luke's gospel. He says, "The coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed. Nor will people say, here it is, or there it is, because the kingdom of God is in your midst. The gospel knows no borders, nor is it limited to any one language. Although the Bible was originally written in Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, it is currently available in 531 languages. The church is a global phenomenon, being spread even as we speak into every corner of the globe. China, which is officially atheist, is poised to become the largest Christian country in the world by population. Yes, you heard that right. The same country in which you can be imprisoned or even executed for identifying yourself as a Christian just a few short years ago will have an estimated 247 million Christians by the year 2030. No one is closing churches in China. In fact, there is currently so much demand for worship space that many Chinese believers gather in house churches, just as the first Christians did 2 millennia ago. Interestingly, a recent study in China found that online searches for the words Christian community and Jesus far outnumbered those for Communist Party and Xi Jinping, China's president. And it's not just happening in China. In Africa, in the year 1900, there were about 9 million Christians. There are now 390 million Christians. That exceeds the entire population of the United States. The news gets better. It is estimated that by 2025, there will be 600 million Christians in Africa. Nigeria alone, home to more than 80 million Christians, now has more Protestants than Germany, where the Reformation began 500 years ago. India, where St. Thomas first introduced the gospel many, many years ago, now has more Catholics than Ireland. And the gospel today, we hear Jesus tell us, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into this harvest. Go on your way. Indeed, Jesus knew there were, and still are, many out there who are just waiting to hear the good news. The harvest is plentiful, but who will go out there and collect that harvest? Some of the growth the church is experiencing in the developing world is due in part to the work of fearless, dynamic missionaries, men and women who preach the gospel of Christ in places where they know they risk imprisonment and death for doing so, just as the 70 did. It's one thing to minister to a safe, well-established body of Christians here in the West, but to go out as Jesus commanded, as lambs among wolves, requires real holiness. And the people who undertake this mission are not only true apostles, but saints. So don't be discouraged when you hear the chatter and noise about the decline of the church. We are not entering a post-Christian world. The gospel is alive and still spreading in every region of the earth, being carried there by the successors of those 70 that we heard about today. And don't worry, Jesus isn't requiring us to travel to Africa or China or India to preach and live the gospel. We have enough work to do right here on Long Island. Take heart, for in the very last line of today's gospel, Jesus tells those who go out into the world proclaiming his message, which includes us, that we should rejoice, for our names are written in heaven. Amen.